short-term benefits or long-term solutions?
The addiction to methadone is real. And getting off methadone is not any different than trying to get off some of the other narcotics.
Inside methadone clinics, today in the Upper Cumberland. Later this month, the State of Tennessee's Health Facilities Commission will consider the idea of establishing a non-residential substitution-based treatment center for opiate addiction in Putnam County, otherwise known as a methadone clinic. Dr. Sully Smith is the former medical examiner in Putnam County. He's also the former chair of the Cookeville Regional Emergency Department. Dr. Smith makes no bones about it. He's against the methadone clinic. But he's also here to educate us about what the clinics do and why it may or may not make sense.
When we hear the term methadone clinic, what are we talking about?
And particularly as we think about it with respect to Cookeville and Putnam County, a methadone clinic is a treatment setting outpatient for folks that are addicted to opiates. And they dispense methadone, which is a very long-acting, fairly potent narcotic. And so, you know, when you think of methadone treatment, it's not a cure. It's a substitution. So you take one drug and you substitute another for it. In this case, we would be substituting methadone for other opiates to which that person might have an addiction issue.
And the reason for the substitution is?
Well, withdrawal from narcotics is misery, pure and simple. It is. But it's short-term. It's short-lived. And so it's a way, and it depends on how it's actually prescribed, but it is a way to blunt that withdrawal, that pain, that anguish that getting off of a narcotic addiction causes. The problem, and I'm talking for me, okay,
sure.
And maybe others too, but...
But you're here to educate us and
sure.
to help us understand
yeah.
some of the...
And so the problem is, when do you stop? You know, and I think...
But that's why it's prescribed.
Correct.
Is to prevent the withdrawals.
Prevent the withdrawal, and they try to get somebody who has the addiction issue back into more of a normal lifestyle. And the problem is, you still have an addiction, you know. Are you more functional? Probably. Are you normal functioning? I don't think so. You know, and so a lot of the controversy for the people that don't support the clinics versus the people who do is, how do you taper that methadone? How do you get somebody back to a drug-free, narcotic-free life? And that's not always the case, and that's not always the objective.
From a medical standpoint, what is methadone?
So methadone's a narcotic, okay? It's a long-acting narcotic, and it is used some for chronic severe pain that's very difficult to control. For instance, somebody with bone cancer, that pain is horrific, and it's very difficult to control. And so methadone might be a tool for that patient. But in the case we're speaking about, it is being used as a substitute for a narcotic. And it's not always an illicit narcotic, but could be prescribed. You know, there's a lot of nuances to how all that happens. But it's used to replace another opiate. It has less effect on your brain, and so the hope is that you return to your normal functioning without that craving for the other narcotics.
There's also been the hypothesis put out there that anything that we can do to protect even those who are addicted to drugs from the things that are coming at our country from every border and from everywhere that are coated with things that we don't know, that the chemicals that can be deadly. Is that part of the reason why methadone might be used?
Safer in the fact that it is a prescribed medication that is manufactured by a pharmaceutical manufacturing company to government standards and purities. Yeah, I think it is. You know, is it safer in terms of getting behind the wheel of a car or operating a press at a factory? I'm not at all sure that it
sure.
is. You know,
but it's not going to kill you the moment that you take it, like some of these things.
And that's a great point because, you know, we used to see methadone in Cookeville in Putnam County much more than we do now. And that's back when the pain clinics were around. And they prescribed a lot of this. And we saw it on the street. It was within a week or so of the first pain clinic opening that our narcotics guys were buying methadone on the street illegally. You know, it's being sold illegally.
We're talking about the issue of methadone clinics, and the state will consider at the end of this month the idea of placing a center here in Cookeville. It is something that is regulated by the state, just like other medical facilities are. Dr. Sully Smith is certainly of a point of view that this is not something good for the community, but he's also helping us understand what are some of the issues behind this. Dr. Sully Smith is our guest as we talk about the issue of methadone clinics. So one of the arguments that has been discussed among those who do not support this is the fact that you start a certain drug trafficking around a methadone clinic, much as you described earlier, that has that happened around these pill clinics that happen. So who are the people? Why would an addict be trying to buy methadone in terms of what impact it has on them?
So if you're talking about the regular, the average, I guess is maybe one way to term it, person with an opiate addiction, they're really not, they don't like methadone so much because it doesn't give you as much, if any, euphoria. It doesn't hit your head as hard. It doesn't give you that buzz, but it will keep you out of withdrawal, you know? And so, it's a narcotic. And so sometimes that street level dealer will misrepresent what it is. You know, it's good stuff. It's really strong. It is strong, you know. And so once it hits the street level thing, there's no telling, you know. It's a substitute even at street levels. And it's a substitute at therapeutic, in therapeutic settings. But there are other alternatives, Suboxone, Sebutex, those things also treat narcotic addictions. May not be as smooth, you know, it may be a little tougher for some people, but on the other hand, you have less brain effect. Sometimes the way to get through, and there are other medicines, one called Ketoprest, clonidine is a blood pressure medicine, and it helps blunt narcotic cravings. I mean, so there's a lot of other ways to do it. Go to a treatment center that you just get off of it. It's going to be a miserable 10 days, 2 weeks, but you know what? Then you're gone. You know, you don't have seizures from narcotic withdrawal. You're just a miserable person for, you know, a couple weeks, but then it's better.
There are those who have said that, and I'm not saying this about the particular company, Cedar Recovery, that has the interest in doing it here, but there it has been said that there is an industry that has developed around methadone and that it's more about profit than it is about helping people. Do you have that concern?
And certainly I do. And maybe the easiest thing to explain that is actually to reference Cedar and their certificate of need application before the state. But when you look at their financial plans, their revenue in the first year is close to $750,000. That's a lot of money. In the second year, it's closer to $1.5 million. And that's significant, you know. Well, I got a lot of concerns about that, and it's beyond what we could do today to talk about all the details in that certificate of need application. But there are people who can't afford that. a lot of people who are addicted to narcotics or other drugs, alcohol too, when by the time they get around to treatment, they're rock bottom. And they can't afford the visits. You know, Cedar's going to charge people. Some of the numbers are pretty remarkable on what the actual charge for an office visit, that is to show up, take your dose, stay for 10 minutes. And this is detailed in the report, the application. And then you're discharged, okay? Counseling only happens about every other week, one session. That doesn't seem right. If you're going to be sitting there and you're in their center, why not work with them every day? This is a tough addiction. They need all the help we can give them, you know? So you look at this amount of money. If you cut some of those prices back, could some of the people who have a tough time affording it get in there and get treated? Their application, their certificate of need, says they intend the first year to treat one patient who is indigent, who can't pay. One. And the second year, there's another patient who can't pay. It's not clear to me, is that the same patient from before that's carried over into the second year? Or now are there two? That's stunning to me.
Our guest is Dr. Sully Smith. We're talking about the issue of a proposed methadone clinic, which the state will address at the end of this month. The idea being that it's placed right outside the Cookeville city limits in Putnam County. Putnam County cannot regulate such a business because there's not zoning within the county. The state, of course, has to ultimately decide on the need of this. And Dr. Sully Smith, you spent time, you were over emergency services at Cookeville Regional. You've had a long and storied career. This is along the lines of you couldn't just come into Cookeville and start a hospital. You have to go through the state to get the need addressed. Correct. To play the counterpoint.
Sure.
Methadone is simply another tool that we have in the toolbox. It's not right for everybody, but it's another tool. It potentially saves lives from people who are addicted and are susceptible to going out on the street and buying fentanyl and dying. What's your argument?
Well, you're right. It is a tool. And I suspect there are a few people that is probably the right tool. You know, it's the hammer, not the screwdriver, or vice versa. You know, it's the right tool for the right application. I don't think there is many people as some of the numbers that are nationally driven statistics support that clinic. I just don't think the numbers are there. But I personally think methadone should go away. There are too many issues with it. It's a dangerous drug in my mind. I've seen too much trouble out of it in the emergency room and as the medical examiner. When the pain clinics went away, the deaths that involved methadone went away too. So if you look historically, you know, there are other drugs that used to be okay to use, approved. Heroin was. You know, back in the early 1900s, heroin was a drug that you could prescribe. Well, we don't do that because it's dangerous. It really doesn't have a benefit over other medications. And so it's now Schedule I, meaning you can't prescribe it. You know, it's not worth the risk. It's dangerous. And I think methadone ought to go into that category. There are other medications that can be used, other support therapies, other ways to tackle this. You know, whoever it is who's going through addiction and withdrawal, they've got a real problem, and I want to help them, you know. And there are just, I think there are other ways. There are new drugs coming in addition to what I'm telling you. But I think there's a better plan than methadone. The addiction to methadone is real. And getting off methadone is not any different than trying to get off some of the other narcotics. I don't hear, and I'm not aware of methadone clinics that actually try to wean people off of methadone. They get them on it and say, well, we're good, and then they keep them on it. There's a financial benefit to that. In my mind, I think that's the reason.
Your career has been spent, and you've seen, I'm sure, some of the worst. So I'm curious from your perspective, because I think a lot of us are, we're just frustrated. This just feels like a problem that is so far out of hand that there's no hope of finding an issue. It's beyond recreational marijuana. It's just no doubt. It's just
people die from this, you know.
So what do we do? How do we come up with a comprehensive strategy? Or can we?
Well, no, I think we can. You know, and there are several prongs to that attack. You know, we got to control the drug trafficking and this stuff. You know, this whole issue exploded when fentanyl came on the scene. We got to control that. We got to stop it before it comes to our country. We have to stop it where this stuff's coming from. And most of it's coming from China and India. And then it goes through Mexico, some through Canada, and then it comes into the States. Okay. Fentanyl's not a unique drug in terms of being an illegal narcotic. I mean, fentanyl's a great drug in a hospital setting for surgery and things like that. But there are other drugs that we're seeing now. We're seeing Sufenta and Alfenta. Both are derivatives, analogs, cousins of, it's probably the best way to put it, of fentanyl. They're even more potent. They're even more dangerous. Additionally, we're seeing new, novel compounds that are coming into the United States. Never seen them before. They've not been synthesized. Nobody's made this stuff. You know, and, you know, what do they bring? Well, we're going to find out, I suppose. So we got to stop the drug trafficking. We got to effectively address that. We got to get rid of the stigma. I don't think anybody wakes up today saying, you know, I think I'm going to be a drug addict from now on. You know, these people need help. It's a disease. It's a problem. And it may not be anything that they chose to begin. Some people do. Yeah, I'll try that. It doesn't mean anybody did anything wrong to develop this issue. It just means that's where they are. And we got to love them. We got to help them. We're going to see this problem grow. Whether this clinic goes into Cookeville or not, we're going to see new substances come. People are always trying to figure a different angle. But let's prove there's a true benefit before we, you know, loosen the control.
Thanks for educating us.
Oh, sure.
Dr. Sully Smith, our guest.